Well, good morning. Cold enough out there for you? Should we drop a few more degrees? Yeah. Hey, you baseball guys that are here with us today, they're back from their Christmas break, and you ready to play a little baseball in this? No, not in this, no. I'll just tell y'all, the coldest I ever was in my entire life was at a baseball game. It was February the 10th, and we were playing Garland County Community College in Hot Springs, and there was nothing hot about it. We played a doubleheader, and it began to sleet during the first pitch of the first game. By the end of the first game, the whole field was white. The high that day was 27. And I want you to know, I wasn't a player. I was the coach. Coaches can't run around like the players can. So I was incredibly cold. But I learned something that day. As a coach, I didn't have to wear the uniform like they did. I could put on warmer clothes. And so I put on a heavier coat, some insulated pants. I took care of that. I didn't have that problem the second time, but that first time was ugly. And that was the first game that I ever was a coach, coaching the team. So, anyway, y'all have a game coming up here in town on the 31st, I think, of January. And I want you guys to know that if it's this cold outside, I won't be there. But if the sun is shining and the grass is green, I'll be there. So there you go. There you go. We're so glad that you're with us today. We've got several that are missing today simply because Manny took a crew with him. So all these seats down here up front that usually have young people in them, they're all gone down to Texas to the youth focus down there. And they're going to be on their way back today. So pray for them as they're coming back. And, of course, we've got several that aren't here because of the cold, because this is miserable cold out there right now. And I want to mention this one other thing, though. Bob and Ann have done their part today. Those two rows right there are pretty much filled up with Bob and Ann relatives. And there's 13 of them. Bob was proud of that. He said, well, we got 13 coming. And you should have seen him leading them all in. You know, he led the row, and they're all just lined up behind him like a row of ants. And here they come. I should have said aunts and uncles, right? So here they come. So we're glad that they're with us today. We are sure glad that y'all are with us today and be a part of this congregation today and worship with us. So we're excited about that. Excited about y'all being here with us today. Excited about everybody who's with us today. Those who are visiting, we got one here all the way from California. You know, as Jed and Ellie Mae and Granny would say. Yeah, all the way from California. So we're glad that y'all are here with us today. Today, I want to talk about Joseph and Mary. I want to talk about Joseph and Mary. We read a lot more about Mary than we do about Joseph. Because after Jesus is at the temple, when he's 12 years old, we don't read about Joseph anymore. Most people think that sometime between the ages of 12 and 30, Jesus' age, 12 and 30, Joseph passed away. That wasn't uncommon at all at that time. Matter of fact, at that time, the average life expectancy for a person was 36 years old. So it would not have been uncommon at all for Joseph to have passed away. So we don't read about him anymore. Now, we do read about Mary many times after that. And matter of fact, we read about Mary at the cross. We read about Mary when Jesus ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1. We read about all these things where Mary was, but realized that Mary was probably a widow at that time. Now, the reason why I want to talk about these two individuals is because these two individuals were chosen by God to raise His Son. You ever think about that? Chosen by God to raise His Son. And in that we read that there were two major requirements for Jesus. He had to, number one, be a descendant of Abraham. Number two, he had to be a descendant of David. And Matthew, in the book of Matthew, uses the genealogy of Jesus through his adopted earthly father, Joseph. Now Luke, not being a Jew, uses his genealogy through Mary, his mother. In both accounts, they are both of the lineage of Abraham. They are both of the lineage of David. This is to prove that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. That Jesus was both priest and king, as in the same order as Melchizedek. Jesus was indeed the Son of God. Now, in looking at that, realize that there are some major traits that both Joseph and Mary had to have in order for God to have chosen them. And one of the major traits that I'm going to bring up is that they had to be faithful Jews. Jesus had to be raised in a Jewish home, a faithful Jewish home, in which he appeared at the feast that he was supposed to go to. He was circumcised when he was supposed to be circumcised. He did all the things of the law to fulfill every aspect of the law. And that's why I tell you that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not the New Testament. They are a fulfillment of the old. They are a transition from the old to the new. The New Testament doesn't actually start until Acts chapter 2. But Jesus had to fulfill every aspect of the Old Testament in order so that He could pay our debt for sin. Without fulfilling every aspect of the Old Testament, He could not have paid our debt for sin. So He had to be raised by a home, by a family that was devout in their belief and devout in their actions dealing with the Jewish religion. Now, I want to start off in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 28 through 30. And realize that I'm talking about Mary here, but all these things also apply to Joseph. And the reason why I'm talking more about Mary is because I know more about Mary, because Mary is mentioned more in the Bible. Okay? But realize these things apply to Joseph as well. And notice what it says about a person, a woman, who is respected by all people. Her family, her friends, her neighbors. It starts off and it says this: her children rise up and bless her. This is every day. Her husband also. And he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So what does it say? A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Realize that's a trait. That goes for both Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary feared God. They feared the Lord. They wanted to do what He wanted them to do. And realize when I talk about fear, fear means respect. Perfect love removes what? It removes all fear. Perfect love has no fear. So if you have the perfect love of Jesus Christ in you, you don't fear punishment. You don't fear an eternity in hell. But what you do is you respect God always. And so that fear then turns into respect. And so that word can be used interchangeably. Respecting God. Respecting God. Now, if you fall back into sin, you better start fearing God. You better fear Him. Because if you fall back into sin, then you've put Christ's blood of no effect. But realize exactly what we're talking about here. We're talking about respecting God, respecting His Word, doing everything He says. If you respect your parents, what are you going to do? You're going to do what they tell you to do. You're going to be there for them. You're going to help them along the way as they have helped you along the way. When you are unable to take care of yourself, you can now take care of them. I so much love, and I'm going to tell you this, I so much love our older members here. And the reason why I so much love you is because you encourage me. You help me along the way. I love it when you come by to see me. You may not think so, John, but when you come by and see me, I love it. You might not think so, Bob, but when you come by and see me, I love it. And I want y'all to know that both John and Bob have a tendency to come by almost every day. And I love it. When Dick came up this morning, I have a great deal of respect for you. Dick was an elder here at this congregation. And from everything that I understand, of course, he was an elder before I came here, but from everything I understand about Dick Moore, is that Dick Moore was the type of elder that you went to and you got things done. I've got a great deal of respect for you. And I'd do anything for you. Except fix your car. Don't ask me to do that. Or your airplane. 88 years old, y'all that don't know Dick, 88 years old still flies a plane. Yeah, I can't fix that either. But I can drive you down there to pick it up, can't I? Realize something. If you respect someone the way that you're supposed to respect God, you're willing to do anything in the world for them. I've told you this before. When my mother passed away, she was 94 pounds, 94 years old. I never worried about her spanking me when I was 60. Because I could outrun her. I didn't fear her punishment. But anytime she called, I was there. That's the respect. So realize when we talk about someone who fears God, when we talk about someone who fears God's punishment, that's different than respecting. But if you fear God to the point of respect, then you'll do for God whatever He asks. He will always be there for you. Now, I want to get into this. Why God chose both Mary and Joseph, why God chose them to raise His Son here on this earth. And I want to look at very specific traits that God looked at in choosing these two individuals to raise His only begotten Son. So let's start with the first one, shall we? Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33 says this, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son. And you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Now, what that trait leads us to is this. Mary and Joseph believed in God. Without a doubt, they believed in God's word. Now, Mary questioned God and asked very specifically, "How could this be since I know no man?" But realize she was looking at it from a physical standpoint. God was teaching her through a spiritual standpoint. Entirely different. And so realize that when God told her that these things were going to happen, her response is, "I'm your servant. I'll do whatever." But also realize this. Remember when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant with a child? He sought to put her away quietly. Now realize what that means. Because he could have had her stoned to death. But he sought to put her away quietly. But then the angel appeared to him and told him, said, "No, the child is of the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid to take her as your wife." And what did he do? He believed in God. This is where it all starts for all of us. We must believe. People who say all you have to do is believe and go to heaven. Well, no, but belief is important. Belief is the number one thing. If you don't believe in God, guess what? You're not going to heaven. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, then guess what? You're not going to heaven. Belief is number one. And so with this, understand that God had to choose two people, Joseph and Mary, who believed in Him. Secondly, Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary responded and said, "Behold, Lord, behold, I am your bondservant. Behold, I will do whatever you say for me to do." So they were humble in spirit. They realized that God was in charge. And their response was that "I will do whatever you say because you are my Lord, you are my God. I will do whatever you say for me to do, and I am your servant." Humble yourself. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector who prayed. The Pharisee said, "Boy, I'm so glad I'm not like these other people. I tithe. I fast. I do all these things, and boy, I am sure glad I'm not like that tax collector over there." And remember the tax collector? He couldn't even raise up his eyes to look toward heaven because He knew he was a sinner. Folks, to humble yourself is to realize what God has done for you. God sent His Son to pay your debt so that you could be with Him. Realize what God has done for you. Realize how much you owe God. Realize how often you fall short. Realize how many times a day that you do something stupid. And folks, I do things that are stupid a lot. A lot. Realize how that works. God makes up for it through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Folks, give credit to who needs the credit. Humble yourself. Both Joseph and Mary did exactly that. Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 21 tells us this. And he came home, and the crowd gathered again. Now this was Jesus coming home and the crowd gathering again. And this is what happened. He was so busy. He was so tied up. He was so much trying to do for others that he could not do for himself. He did not even have time to eat. And so Mary came to the point to understand that Jesus did not even have time to eat. So her response was to get him something to eat. Also, another great example is there at the wedding feast where they ran out of wine. Mary was concerned about the groom, the bride, the party, and how that would have made them look, that would have been a disgrace for that family. And so what does she do? She goes to the one that she knows that can help them. And Jesus' response is, "Woman, it's not my time yet." But remember what Mary told him? Just go ahead and do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Mary was concerned about the needs of others. Therefore, it was perfect in the sight of God to have her as Jesus' mother, because Jesus himself was concerned about the needs of others. He did not come to this earth to condemn. He came to this earth to save. Jesus was always concerned about others. He himself, he was not concerned about. But everyone who was around him, he was concerned about. This was the perfect match for Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Realize what it says there. The angel tells Mary, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. In all things, Mary and Joseph sought to do the will of God." In all things, do you seek to do the will of God? Or do you seek to do your own will? Or do you seek to do the will of man? God's will and man's will oftentimes is not the same. Are you seeking to do God's will? Realize both Joseph and Mary sought to do God's will in everything. And that's why they found favor in God's eyes. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word." Now, this is where oftentimes we fall short. We oftentimes want to do God's will as long as it's our will. We oftentimes want to do what God wants us to do as long as we like doing it. We have grown as a group of people over the last 30, 40 years into a group that wants to hear the word as long as it goes along with what you want to hear. That's why, folks, we have so many news outlets. Because this news outlet caters to this group of people, this news outlet caters to this group of people, this news outlet caters to this group of people. And so then you have a question: what really is the news? Let me help you with something. There are far too many people that go to a church or a congregation simply because they want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear all this other stuff. And there's even a new sect that I call it that's out there right now that is the prosperity group, the prosperity sect. Where all they really want to hear is, "I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay, go home and expect great blessings from God." That's what they want to hear. Did Paul ever say that? No. Matter of fact, Paul in all of his writings, he'd start out by praising them for the things that they were doing right, and then during the middle of his writings, he would be hammering them on the things that they were doing wrong, and then at the end, he would tell them, "Now stay faithful and you'll be rewarded." Now, this group that I'm talking about are groups of people that come together, and all I want to hear is how great they're doing. Folks, every day we could be doing better. Every day we need to be doing better. And so, a lot of times, when it comes down to doing God's will, it comes down to whether or not it's convenient for us to do God's will. And that goes completely contrary to what Jesus taught us. In our life, we're going to have trial and tribulation. In our life, we're going to have people that stand up against us and say no to God, no to Christ. And, as a matter of fact, when Jesus talked to his apostles, soon to be apostles in Matthew chapter 5, he told them, he said, "Blessed are you when they despise you, when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." He's telling them it's going to happen. If you're looking for convenience, that's not why we're here. We're here to do God's will. That's our purpose. So realize, whatever that will may be, we're ready to go. Just like Joseph and Mary, Whatever God's will was, we're ready to go. We're ready to do. Tell us where, we'll do it. That's how we should be. Notice this one in Luke chapter 2, verse 35, it says this. Mary was told, at the very beginning of Jesus' life, that he will pierce her soul. Think about Mary standing at the cross, watching her son beaten, mocked, spit upon, bleeding. Remember, Mary was there. Those of us who have children, especially those of us who have had children that have been ill or have lost children, would you not trade would you not trade places with them right now? If they're hurting, would you not do everything you could to stop it? Mary was in that same situation, but she was powerless to do that. She felt those things. She suffered when Jesus suffered. But even though she was told that these things were going to happen, that your heart will be pierced because of him, whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. Whatever direction I am to go, I will go. Where God sends, I will go. That was Mary's thought. That was Joseph's thought. Wherever God sends us, we will go. John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Mary tells them, whatever Jesus says to you, and this is the wine story that I mentioned earlier, whatever Jesus says to you, you do it. Mary and Joseph both had confidence in their son. Mary and Joseph both had confidence in God. And I want you to remember the things that Paul said. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. There's not one thing in this world that we cannot do as long as God is with us. Through everything, we can be confident in God. We can be confident in knowing that he is with us even until the end of the age. God is with us. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 26. Mary was standing beside the cross. And notice Jesus said, now beside the cross of Jesus stood his mother Mary, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. So when Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, notice what he said. He said, woman, behold your son. Now, I want you to realize he's not talking about himself. He's talking about John the Apostle, who is there as well. And he also says to John the Apostle, he says, John, behold your mother. And from that day forward, John took Mary in as his own mother. Now, what's important about that is this, that both Joseph and Mary were faithful all the way to the end. Whatever took place, Joseph and Mary were faithful to the end. So, I have this question for all of you. And this question is for me as well. If you lived during that time frame, if you lived during the time of Joseph and Mary, would God have chosen you? Are you faithful? Are you confident? Are you a believer? Will you go wherever you are told to go? Will you follow His Word the way that He wants you to follow His Word in every aspect of your life? Do you put God first? Mary and Joseph were special people. God chose them to raise His only Son on this earth. But there's a reason. It wasn't just because of their genetics. It was because they were faithful to God. That's what it comes down to. So today, the question is, would God choose you? Would God choose me? This is what I want to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. These are the words that I wait for. These are the words that I hope for. These are the words that I pray for. But to be God's faithful servant, you have to be chosen. Are you chosen? Stand up and be chosen. Stand up and be a part of what God has ready for all of us. Set aside the things of this earth and put God first. Faithful to the end, and victory is ours. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we're going to give you that opportunity to come while together we stand and sing.